All right. Come on. You guys more stirred up now? I'm telling you what, I felt the spirit of summer. Olaf's spirit of summer. And I think that's why God gave me the message that he gave me tonight. And because there's a limitless amount of God that we can experience. There's a limitless amount. It's like I said, I'm so serious. It's not just about camp, because if you don't make camp, you're still here today. And I always, ever since I came to this church in 2002, I always carried with, and it has not changed, the people in my heart that I knew I would meet and I would get to spend time with and do life with and see in the street, that God allowed, you know, our church or to play a part in their lives being changed. You know what I mean? Like, we're not just a bunch of individuals here talking to Jesus. We're a family. We're a group. I don't know if I shared it last time I got to speak, but that's what I was looking for when I came to Christ. I have wonderful parents. I have a sister, older sister. She's awesome. You know, but there was something in me that was broken that I didn't feel loved. I felt like an outsider in my own family. And so there's all kinds of stuff there that God has healed and is working on in my own life. And that's, we all have our own journey, amen? I'm going to write a spoken word about it soon. And God's going to help me. I'm going to deliver it at a hangout. Wow, I just said that out loud. All right, I'm on the record now. I mean, Lord willing, I mean, if the pastors allow it, yeah, I mean, you know. But I know I'm going to write one, and because I just feel like that's important. We all have our own journey, but when I came to church, like, I found that, like, when Isaac was saying John 3:16, I would skip past the first part, and I would focus on the last part. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him will not perish but have eternal life. I always went straight to the part that was my responsibility. And that's not a bad thing, right? To be responsible, right? But there was something that I've come to realize, that God is the one pursuing us. He's the one loving us. We love him because he first loved us. So if you're like me and there's something in you that's like wants to push love away, wants to like hide from it, let God, even if it's just, you know, answering the altar call, even if it's just talking to him little by little on your own time, let his love come in and heal you. Everyone's in their own journey, but God has become my home, my safe place, my family. And that's not taking away from anybody else, because then are any of you God's kids? Right? So then like he's your home, right? He's your family, so that makes us family. And we do life together, and it's not always perfect, and it's, you know, life is messy and you can't always control it. And it can hurt sometimes, but those are the things that allow God to show up in our lives. If we always control things, if we always do things in our own way, in a way that we're trying to limit pain or whatever and try to keep it clean, then we're limiting the testimony that God wants to have in our lives. All right, I didn't plan to say any of that, but I was just sharing a little bit from, I just came back from a trip, my trip, I called it, I thought I was going to post more on Facebook, but I guess it's not too late because Facebook is still in business, right? I called it the planes, train, and automobile and Uber trip. It was funny because, like, there's a bunch of little things. I won't get into the details in the natural. It was a lot of fun things that were going on. But my main purpose for my trip was, I called it my reconnection tour. And it's not over. The reconnection tour, because I felt like I lost track. I lost touch with some people in my life. I met an aunt, my mom's oldest cousin, that I'd never met before in North New Jersey. And we had a great time. It was so awesome. We went through family albums. And she told stories about my grandma that I had never heard before. I saw a picture of her, like, just sitting at the table with my grandma when she was younger. And I'm like, wow, because sometimes you don't get that when they're away, when they're a lot older than you. Spent time with other cousins in New York. And that was awesome. Spent time with some of my teammates from Bible College in West Virginia, Cincinnati, Kansas City. Went to the Kansas City International House of Prayer, IHOP. Yeah. And that taught me so much. If you guys don't have the IHOP app, they say you have an app that shows, that has people praising. They have been doing praise and worship to Almighty God nonstop, 24/7, since 1999. That's like 19 years ago. Good math, huh? And it's not going to stop. Every 2 hours, a group of people come up and they and it's really awesome. Check out the app, and just if you want to worship God, they pray the word. There's all kinds of different things. But this is the thing. God showed a lot in my heart about sometimes you just need to, like I learned to like perform. And there's, like I said, there's nothing wrong with, we have to be doers of the word and we have to do things for God. But I learned to just like sit and let God like pour over me and love me and just like be. We're human beings, not human doings, you know what I mean? And so there was just a lot there. So anyway, then I got to go, the end of my tour, I got to see one of my, you know, spiritual mentor, not mentors, but like spiritual giants. I mean, he would, and the funny thing is he's so humble, he wouldn't even want to say these. He'd probably get mad at me if we had the kind of relationship. Like, I only met him once. I took a selfie with him. He's kind of like, hey, do you want to, somebody take our picture? I said, no, watch this. And he's like, I think I taught him what a selfie was, although I'm not very good at them. Jim Cimbala is the pastor of Brooklyn Tabernacle. And I read his book, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire. The pastors have read it. It's amazing. He's a man. It's a great story. It kind of talks about his story. And his story is a lot like our story. It's a lot about just doing what God's calling you to do, not always being necessarily trained or perfect for something, but just having the heart to see God do what God does. Like he was from New Jersey. He wasn't even trained. Didn't even go to Bible college. Wasn't going to be a pastor. And this person said, come pastor this church. He was pastoring two churches at a time, one in New Jersey, one in Brooklyn. And then eventually he felt like that was too much. Yeah. And so, and he started this church. And so, and that's, they also have amazing music, but it was so amazing to be in downtown Brooklyn. Not in like, you know, it's not like the best neighborhood, you know what I mean? It's not like, it's come a long way from decades ago. But still, like, this church, they make sure there's a group of people that does not leave the church until everyone has a ride home. Like, they're in their cab, they're in their Uber, they're in their, you know, they're on their train, whatever it happens to be. But just to watch hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people walking through downtown Brooklyn, black, white, yellow, brown, red, like every ethnicity you could imagine. And just to go and like hugging on each other and loving each other and worshiping God with all their heart. It was so amazing. And then the 9 o'clock service ends and people leave, and then 11, and then hundreds more come in. And when I say hundreds, I mean like probably over 1,000 people. And then they leave. And then the 1 o'clock comes in like nonstop. They're doing this. Like, this is possible. People, God is that good. He's the, we talked to you guys about it before. He's the desire of all nations. When he's pursuing people to have that intimate relationship with him. So I'm going to actually get into, I'm stealing Pastor Cymbala's part of his message. Because I stayed it for two services. I'm like, I was in the balcony. I said, I want to go downstairs and I want to see the choir. 180 member choir. Look up their music on Apple Music or whatever. It's just, it's awesome. You can tell I'm excited about that. But so let's get into Exodus chapter 3. Moses was in a place. You can just turn to verse 1. Moses was in a place. God had put something in his heart, and he was kind of disenchanted. God put something in his heart. He tried to make it happen in his own strength. People didn't understand. Other people didn't understand what was in his heart. Other people won't. If God put something in your heart, it's not like everyone's not going to just let you do it. Even your brothers and sisters, family, biological family, a lot of times can be like, what? Are you sure? I think you should go to college. I think you should do this. You know, that's, God puts things in our heart for a reason. He wants us to work it out. He wants us to work it out. He wants us to depend on him. He wants us to trust him. He wants us to give it to him. So Moses ends up killing somebody over that. That's how much, you know, they were on the wrong page and literally killed him. And then he just runs away from Egypt. If you don't know what I'm talking about, watch The Prince of Egypt. It's great theology. And so now he's on the backside of the desert, way far away from Egypt, way far away from his calling, but he's just doing life. I don't know what his emotions are, but I know he's not aggressively pursuing God, or, you know, he's not in his calling. Jethro was his father-in-law. He's tending the flocks. Next verse. And Moses led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord, a lot of times when it says angel of the Lord, it's talking about Jesus. Jesus showed up before the cross. He showed up before he was born of Mary. He showed up. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. I want us to notice today, Moses isn't seeking God, but God shows up to pursue Moses. God's pursuing you tonight. God's pursuing you. He's not beating you over the head with something. He's not shaking his finger. He's pursuing you. He's your shadow. He's like, I want them to look to me more. I want to talk to them. Again, not in a negative way. You know, not like sometimes people can bug us to do things. Or we take it the wrong way, take it as nagging or something. No, it's love. It's all it's all relationship. Next verse. Was that the next one? So he looked and behold, So he looked and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Next verse. Then Moses said, okay, listen, this is our part. So God is doing his part. Amen. He is pursuing us. And God is doing his part, and our part is what Moses does here. I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. Our job is to give attention to God. Everyone say attention. Attention is what we focus on. I want you to ask yourself, what am I giving my attention to? A lot of times summertime comes around and we have more time in the summer, you know, kids. I'm a teacher, so like my schedule is kind of around the schools too. Poor Popecito, other adults, they have to like have a real job. It's awesome. People do their jobs. But raise your hand if you have more time this time of year right now. Okay. So that means, so I want you to ask God tonight, like, how can I use my attention? How can I do what Moses did? For the right reasons, to have more of a relationship with him, to have more intimacy with him. There's more of him. There's more dreams. All right, next verse. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, see that? God's not forcing him. God's not beating him down. He's not scolding him. He's waiting for Moses to look to him, and then God responds. He does honor himself. He does value his own presence in our lives. You know what I'm saying? That's why our Lord taught us, don't cast your pearls before swine. In other words, don't just tell every single person all that God's doing in your life, because some people just need a smile. Some people just need you to be nice to them. Other people are hungry and they're ready for you to tell them all about Jesus. In other words, don't just push your knowledge on people or push your, you know what I mean? We have to be led by the Spirit. It could do damage to somebody and to yourself if you're just giving everything away to everybody. But I'm telling you what, God values his own presence in our lives. And we need to also, amen? God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. There's some more honor, right? It's not just dead religion. It's honoring God. We should honor him, honor his presence, honor worship. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon him. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrow. Stop right there. I'm telling you what, guys, I'm going to ask you guys a question. And it's not just an informational question, it's a depth charge question. Check your heart out. I'm going to check my heart out. Do you know what people are going through around us, even in this room? Do we know that people are confused? People are confused, like it's the spiritual force of sin, which is something that just wants to separate people from this amazing relationship with a God who is all for us and all amazing. And we can be captivated by just looking at him and just, there's angels in heaven that are worshiping him and they're going around his throne. And every time they see his face, they're crying out like they just encountered him for the first time. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And then they're just going around, they're just meditating on that. They're just soaking in his presence. They're just worshiping him, and then it becomes their turn around again, and then they see a whole new aspect of him. The Bible says in Ephesians that we're in the ages to come, he's going to reveal his grace that he's already bestowed on us. Like so much has been poured into us, so much has happened to us. Hear this, and all we can do from now and through eternity is catch up to learn who he is and what he's done in our lives. And we have a time, I don't know if you've ever done this, but I've done this. I've stopped in the middle of my day and thought, one day I'm going to look back on this day. I'm going to be in eternity looking back on the time when I could impact somebody's life or I could make that choice. Like, we're history makers. Delirious had this song out called History Makers back in the day. And we have a chance to make history. Man, I just really started preaching to myself big time. All right, I'm going to get this message. All right, so the first point I want to make, I know there's sorrows. Man, I just, you know, even when we inflict our own damage on ourselves because of our own stupidity or sin or bad choices, God still has sorrow for us. You know, don't let the enemy tell you, oh, no, that was your fault. No, that one was your fault. So God's like, no, he's going to make you go through all the punishment. He's just waiting for you to go through some pain. You know, God is God is tender for us. The Bible says he knows that we're frail. He knows, you know, the grass withers and the flowers fade. That's us. The people who were famous and rich, even 50 years ago, are dead and gone, or nobody knows about them anymore. That's going to be us. That's going to be us. You know what I mean? I hate to break it. Our flesh hates it. We think that we're Instagram famous forever, right? But guess what? Then everybody gets old, and then, you know, and then we die. That was a great message, Pastor Paul. That was so inspiring. Everyone gets old, and then we die. But you know what? The Bible says those who do the will of the Lord abide forever, live forever. We can do things that impact eternity. We can bring somebody with us. How cool is that? We can bring somebody with us to the next life. We'll probably come back to this, but let's get, my first point is that sin is a force. I did feel this strong, and it might not be like a jump and a hoop and holler message, but I do want to say this because I want to be obedient to the Lord. I do want to tell every single one of us, remind us that sin is a force. It's not just an action. It's not just something we do, and we can just get out of it easily. A lot of times, it's a force that will suck us in, and it will drag us further. I learned in Bible college, and I have lived my own life. It's true. Sin will cost you more than you ever thought you would have to pay. It'll keep you longer than you ever thought you'd have to stay. And I say that, it's not a negative thing, it's a wise thing, because he gives us victory over death and the grave. He gives us victory over sin. But that's our choice. Romans 6 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, when he's our Lord, when we're honoring him, and we're pursuing him. And why would we do that? Because of who he is. We give him our attention and we realize, oh my God, you're right there. You're right there the whole time. You're pursuing me. You're not against me. You're for me. And you're right, you're like right there. You're in my grill. But am I paying attention? And even that, he's like, don't be mad at yourself. Don't condemn yourself. I used to get down myself so much, like, oh, I didn't read my Bible enough today. I didn't pray enough today. That's not who he is. But do those things because we love him, because he loves us. Amen? But sin is a force. Look at this, man. Genesis 4, 7. Now, let me set it up real quick. Cain and Abel. Abel brought a sacrifice to God. It was awesome. God was pleased. Cain didn't. He betrayed himself. We can all be Cain. We can all know what the right thing to do is and not do it. And all of a sudden we entered into this thing called sin. And then he's sad. He gets reprimanded by God. And God, even when he reprimands us or disciplines us, because he does it because he loves us. He wants us to be more like Jesus. Amen? But then God says this to Cain. He says, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. Go to the next one. And its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Sin has a desire for us. Sin has an insatiable desire to rule us. Insatiable. It'll never have enough. And when we're involved in sin, we'll never be satisfied. We'll never have enough. But when we have God and we're just clean and worshiping him and loving each other, like, and honoring what's in our own hearts, we're satisfied. Even when we don't have maybe tons of money or all these things that these forces are constantly telling us what we don't have. Just turn on TV or, you know, all the ads, ad-based. We have an ad-based society, and every single ad's job is to tell you and me what we are lacking in our lives. Did you know that? That's its goal. Why you don't have this, so you need to buy our product. You need to subscribe to this. You need to watch more Netflix. You need to do this. You need to, you don't have all, you're not, oh, you didn't binge watch all the shows or whatever. You're not as, you're not, you know, on that same level. And while that's going on in all of your faces, and mine too, probably more a lot of you, because I just, you know what I mean? But, it happens to me too. God is, where's God? He's right there. He's right next to us. He's pursuing us. He's loving us. He's saying, what about me? I love you. I want you. And that is, I don't know if you've ever been stuck in sin before, but I'm telling you, to be bound with, to be in love with God and pursuing him, I mean, it's, I love the comparisons in the Bible. It's, you're out of jail. It's jail to be stuck in sin. Imagine right now you're in this cell and it's just all, you can't move. You can't, you can barely move around, but you can't go anywhere. Imagine you couldn't go to the taco truck tonight or Tommy's. Imagine you were not able to leave this room and go play volleyball with us. Like, I don't think I'm the only one that takes so much for granted that God has blessed me with. I'm trying to remember the lyrics of that one song, but it's just like God will bless. We have a just tendency to like God blesses us. And it's so easy to go and like I think the first part of this one Waterdeep song says that God causes it to rain on us. And rain is a good thing because it's agriculture, right? It's growth. It's the blessings come. And people have a tendency to turn and thank the clouds. You know what I mean? We have a tendency to like look to other things. And God's heart is, man, he just wants us to know what he's done, and what he's doing for us. Number one, sin is a force. What's my second point? Jesus brought us out. All right, let's go to that and let's go back to Exodus 3. Let's jump to verse 10. I don't remember where we were, but let's jump to verse 10. We got a few more minutes. You guys doing all right? Yeah. All right. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh. So God is telling Moses what to do. Remember, God was pursuing Moses, but then God was waiting for Moses to look around at this amazing thing. This bush is on fire, but it's not being consumed. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So my second point is Jesus brings us out. Whatever sin that we're, if you're in something, jacked up in something right now, if you're looking at something you shouldn't be looking at, comparing yourself with somebody you shouldn't be comparing yourself to, you know, judging somebody you shouldn't be judging, whatever it is, talking bad about somebody, it all has a force. It all wants to pull you. If you want to have a bad attitude, it all wants to get you into its little cell and conform you and not let you out. But the good news is Jesus brings you out. It's an amazing thing. It's like literally hell or heaven, because like it's hell to be stuck in sin and we don't, you know what the worst thing about hell is? Jesus, his presence isn't there. We don't get to behold, people don't get to behold him. I said we, I bind that in the name of Jesus. People don't get to behold his amazingness. The absence of God is what makes hell hell. The absence of goodness, the absence of every good and every perfect thing comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, either shadow or turning. The absence of that. It's not about, it's not a torture. It's only torture because the only one who's the good, only one who's the good is not there. That make sense, sissy? All right. Jesus brings us out. Come on, has anybody been brought out at all? Come on, somebody. It's good to be brought out. Praise God. And if you need to be brought out, come up here. We'll pray with you. He'll deliver you. He'll set you free. But this is the thing. He brings us out. Look at the next verse. If you could throw it, the next verse of Exodus. He does not want us to stop at just coming out of that. So he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. Can you go back? Did we miss something? Or maybe it's just that translation. All right, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So God takes them out. This is what he's telling Moses, I'll just tell you. You're going to take them out of Egypt. He's taking Moses out of the backside of the desert, out of his purposelessness, basically, out of his not walking in the will of God. He takes him out of that. But he's sending him in to do the will of God. He brings us out to send us in. Everyone say, he brings me out to send me in. And what is that sending in? That sending in is saying yes to his plan. Saying yes to that intimate relationship with him. Saying yes to just sitting in his presence, learning his word. Grab the verses that talk about who he is. There's so many names that Jesus has. It's the bread of life. It's the Alpha. It's the beginning. It's the Omega. It's the end. He's the author and finisher of our faith. We're accepted in the beloved. But he's our beloved. I mean, there's so much. You could just take one of those and say, Jesus, just reveal that to me. I want to know more about who you are in that area in my life. And I just want to challenge each one of us and encourage everybody tonight, tomorrow, going up, like leading up into camp. And I just want to say prophetically that I really believe so much is going to happen at camp. I don't say that to manipulate. You know, I'm just saying that because I really believe people are going to get so many answers in his presence up at camp. You're going to know your calling. It's always, I can say that with confidence, because that's what he's done year after year after year. And there's so many people that have gone to camp that could tell you, man, I received my call to ministry. Or you remember Shayla, some of these girls like that I remember God would, was it you that God was writing? He showed his hand and then he would talk about all that, the way he saw that person. One of the girls, and just like, they had like a vision of like God's hand saying, you are my daughter. You know, these personal things that God knows about us, and he wants to say personal things to us. Because as many grains of sand as there are in this whole planet, that's how many good thoughts he has towards each one of us. And there's no need for us to compete against each other ever, because he's right there behind Daniel. Waiting for Daniel, and he's right there from behind Daniel. He's right there behind every single Daniel on the planet, and every single Paul, and Jesse, and every single Claudia. But he's right there, Claudia. He's right there marveling at that beautiful dress that you have on. What? It's a skirt? It's a tunic? Not a skirt, it's a tunic. Amen. I just want to spend a couple, do we have any time left? Spend a couple minutes just praying. And I want you to get alone with God. Let's dim the lights some if we can. Don't come up here. Just stay where you are. And Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we just ask for you to reveal to us. First of all, we honor you and recognize you. We tell you, thank you for pursuing us. That is so amazing that the God of the universe, who is from everlasting to everlasting, you inhabit eternity, but you also dwell in the hearts of those who are broken and contrite. And just because of who we are as humans, we're broken and contrite. We come to you broken and contrite, meek, just humble ourselves before you. And we just say, Lord, thank you for pursuing us. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for thinking about me. Just tell God these things right where you're at. Just spend time with him. And Lord, we respond tonight to your love for us. And we want to please you. We know that you deliver us from sin. You deliver us from the junk of the world. We know that this world has nothing for us. And Father, we don't want to stop there. We don't want to stop having come out from the world, come out from our addictions, having come out. And we praise you and we declare and we prophesy that every single person whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be sozo. Saved, healed, delivered, just given a new life, a new destiny. Father, we continue to declare that you named this youth ministry, sozo. And we praise you for all the sozo that's happened, but there's so much more. There is so much more sozoing that you will do and you will be glorified for every single bit of it, Lord. And part of that has to do with us stepping into where you're sending us. So, Father, we prepare our hearts, and Father, we know that camp's a ways off, but it's not just about camp. It's about the rest of today. It's about tomorrow. It's not our time schedule, it's yours. I don't know what would have happened to Moses that day if he didn't turn, but I know what happened when he did turn to you. And I know that an individual experience for each one of us in this room, and for those of us, we lift up those who couldn't be here tonight, and even those who haven't come yet, that those experiences will take place, because you are not a respecter of anybody. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. I pray that you would kind of put it in our hearts, a greater hunger, a greater desire, greater expectation. Expectation, expectation, expectation. Not necessarily for everything in life to always go perfect, but for you to, we know that you are always there looking into us when we allow you to. Into me, see. And that is what builds relationship with you. And that is what you desire, because your desire is for us. Father, we ask for practical application, whatever that looks like. Maybe that is, maybe you're put it in our hearts, what we can do, when, where, spend time with you. Maybe there's a book you want us to read. Maybe there's a revival you want us to study. Maybe there's an app, you know, a prayer room you want us to start just listening to. Maybe there's someone you want us to talk to about Jesus. And we know that is such a scary thought, but you know what? We know that you'll be right there with us when we do it. And maybe just stepping out and doing that will change things so much. No matter what the result is, just stepping out. Father, we thank you we ask for courage right now, courage to get up and walk over to somebody and start a conversation with somebody. Father, we ask for courage to be able to talk to our family members and to see them the way you see them, and to forgive and to just release them. Forgiveness. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the plan. The plan of God is forgiveness. If there's just right now, that's a non-negotiable, because of that verse we read. God loved us so much that he sent Jesus, and our sins put him on that cross. I mean, we know it was his love, but he wouldn't have had to do it if it wasn't for our sins. There's no way we could ever forgive anybody on this planet more than God has forgiven us. Individually, each one of us. So search your heart right now, and I'm telling you, God, just forgive. I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying it's required. And I'm saying that it's the same way that something else might seem hard to do, like talking to somebody about Jesus, or he's right there with you. And it might even be a process, and there's leaders here that will help you walk through it, but I'm just telling you, I feel like God wants us to remember that having a spirit of forgiveness is so important, because he wants to do so much through us. And the enemy's one of the enemy's main weapons is to try to build a fence between people. And that offense is a spiritual force, because it's sin. And it wants us to keep those walls between people. Because if you can separate people, then it's divide and conquer. We won't be walking in the perfect will of God for our lives if we're doing that. Moses had to forgive. Moses had to release. Moses had to walk with a heart attitude that was just like loving people. When we're so committed to the God who is pursuing us and we're loving him back, it really doesn't matter what can man do to me. What can man really do to me? I've got God. Hallelujah. What is that verse in Hebrews 13? Hallelujah. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Everyone, well, let's end with this. Everyone say it out loud. Say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Yeah, I like that attitude. You guys are so sassy. In a godly way, amen? All right, I love you guys. I missed you all. I'm glad to be back and see all your smiling, beautiful, amazing faces.